Your time for revenge is at hand. Voila.
Unbelievable!
You want some more?
Coming to you from somewhere deep inside Transition Studios, brought to you by your hosts, Roger and Leto. Welcome to Sci-Fi Rewind!
Yeah, I like when he just starts. You ever listen to, what's it called?
I don't quite know the name of his podcast or whatever.
Yeah, it used to be something else, but he changed the name. Anyways, he just starts talking, and then the guest is always like, are we started? I was like, oh, yeah, we're starting. Like, I just kind of like that kind of, like, it just kind of like blends in. Anyways.
So I guess we're doing that right now? Huh?
No, not necessarily. No, not really. All right. Here we go. Hello, I'm Leto.
And I'm Roger.
And together we are
Sci-Fi Rewind.
All right. So in our podcast, we look at all things sci-fi from a generational. I'm Generation X, Roger.
I'm Generation Z, Y. Like, I'm so confused.
Yeah.
I'm so confused these days.
I'm borderline boomer Generation X. Ooh. Born in 65.
Okay. I'm 78 and Roger's 96. Okay. This is pretty cool. Nice little, you know, different of years and different generations and different target markets for the filmmakers. Okay, cool. And then we also like to look at the films or whatever sci-fi from a filmmaker's point of view. We're all filmmakers here, to determine what were the filmmakers thinking, what was their creative motivations, and would this get made today? And today, we are super excited to get Sean Reck, the boss, the man, the myth, the legend, on our show. Thank you so much for doing this. This is a big ask, and we really appreciate you being on the show. Let's see, I know you from being hiring me off the street with, like, you know, no experience whatsoever, straight out of film school, on someone's recommendations. They're our brothers, probably. And you gave me a shot. I'm here. Hopefully, I'm working out. And couldn't be excited. This dream come true. And I know you from being the director of all the films you've released so far, White Boy, Murder in the Park, American Gospel, or where
I'm you're the producer of those gospel movies.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. And then
Brandon Kimber's the director.
Brandon Kimber, right, correct. And you got a lot on upcoming, and, you know, I'm just have you take it away, like Sean Reck. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you having me. So, explain what I do.
And yeah, explain how, you know, what you do. You know, how'd you get started in filmmaking, and what's your goal for the future?
Right. I consider myself an entrepreneur first and foremost. I've launched a few businesses. I've won some. I've lost some. Not always pretty. But you know, you learn from those things. And I always wanted to make films since I was a little kid.
Cool.
And so after my the last business, which happened to have been a failure, I took a job editing a magazine for a few years, and I got the entrepreneurial bug again. And I said, you know, if I'm going to win or lose or give my life to something, it's going to be something I'm really passionate about. So that thing was television and film. So I set out my boss at the time, Ralph McGreevy, who's one of the partners here, I set out to make TV and movies, and we have never really failed. The very first thing we did was Crime Stoppers. We did it here in Cleveland. Everybody said we couldn't get it on TV. We got it on CBS. Then we branched out to Miami and got it on CBS, and branched out to Los Angeles and got it on CBS, and then we went to Chicago and got it on Fox. And they were a tough way to make money, you know, there's not a lot of money in regional television.
Right.
But we earned some Emmys and we helped solve some murders. And
well, so your films, the Crime Stoppers episodes actually led to some convictions?
Yeah, it led to eight unsolved murders being solved through tips from our viewers.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm sorry, 10.
10.
So 6 in Miami and 4 in Cleveland.
Success story.
Yeah.
Without you making these decisions, these people would still be on the street. These families wouldn't get resolution. This is awesome. Yeah,
it could be, but it's a tough way to make money. So we decided to move into films. I wanted to make a wrongful conviction doc, and our sponsor in Chicago told me about the story behind the murder in the park, and he partnered with me, and we made that film. It took a few years, and in the end of the film, we walked the guy out of prison.
Wow,
and that was a really good feeling.
That's great. That's a great story. Did you have like a spark, like a series or a movie that said, "This is what I want to do"? Was there like a some program, anything that led you on this path?
Yeah, I think my favorite show was when reality was getting really big. I was just totally enthralled by The First 48 on A&E.
Okay.
Which is a real time murder investigation program.
Yeah.
And I'd watch these detectives in Memphis or Miami or Kansas City solve these cases in real time, and it's still a phenomenal show and a very successful show. And we're fortunate enough to be launching a kind of a follow-up show on our new streaming network that stars some of those same people who are retired.
How about that?
Who want to feature some of those cases that didn't make it onto that show.
So, nice.
Homicide, The Cases That Haunt Us is a show that's going to be on our True Blue network starting Thanksgiving 2022.
Perfect. So outside of making films, you are actually launching streaming networks, and that's
here's the thing. When I started to make television, I was, you know, 42 years old, some fat guy in Cleveland, Ohio. No one was going to hire me. I had to create my own gig. So, and we've been really fortunate in everything we made is made on the air, and all the films we've made ended up on, you know, with worldwide distribution, and really fortunately, everything one way or another has ended up on Netflix.
Right.
So we're kind of like batting 1,000 on Netflix. Even the religious stuff got on there. You know, it's to make something. You kind of feel very helpless when you're done, because there might be 20 or 30 buyers,
right,
who decide your fate. So in starting our own streaming network, we know that we can always be our own buyer.
Right.
So if somebody wants to says, it doesn't look like anybody else is interested, and they offer us a super low ball MG, which means money guarantee, we can say, well, you know, we'll do better just throwing it on our network and then throwing it on iTunes for people to buy or rent. And so it gives us an alternative, and it doesn't make us a slave to the industry. So that's why we're starting streaming networks. But the first one we started is a big success. So these aren't just like shots in the dark. Mm-hmm. These are pretty well thought out. And True Blue is basically bringing back versions of programs that have been canceled, that were canceled while they were peaking. You know, they were doing great and making networks money, but they canceled them for social reasons.
Right.
So
Well, now you're going to have an avenue for all that content to live and people to be absorbed again all over again. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So here at Sci-Fi Rewind, we do things a little bit different. We do what is called like a pitch session, and we're going to be talking about a movie, and that movie is going to be that you picked is The Fifth Element, right?
Because you love this film.
Not because I love this film. I do not love this film. I loved things about this film, and it's still a memorable film for me.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is kind of fun because we're usually coming into your office and pitching you ideas, and you're processing
picking them apart.
Right, right. So like we're gonna kind of switch roles here. Roger and I are gonna be executives. I have and I'm a blank film company. And you're going to be the filmmaker, blank filmmaker, And you're going to, you know, explain, you know, like we're completely blind to this idea. Like that's where we're kind of going to try to pretend, but we really know a little bit. Like, you know, we were golfing with you, right? Or something crazy, or we were eating lunch and you got this great idea for a film. So why don't we hear about this great idea? So, hey, Raj, I got this guy. He's got an idea. He's coming in. I met him at the golf course. His name's Sean.
Hey, guys. What I think is a great idea for a film. It's it checks every box. It's got a little bit of religion. It's got some history. It's sci-fi. It's throwback. It's look forward.
Right.
It's not a one man saves the world. It's a few people save the world, and it's action packed. It's going to be beautiful to look at, and I think it's going to do great, and we only need $173 million to make it.
Ouch.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay, you had me at a lot of money it's going to make, but, man, it's going to cost us. Jeez. Boy, you got that itemized? Oh, boy.
Can I, if I can start the questions off.
Oh, boy.
Is this based off of anything?
Yeah.
Or is this?
No, this is a clean sheet, and that's very rare to have a clean sheet.
Absolutely. So no built-in. Okay.
It's not based on a comic book or any legacy story.
Good boy.
I wrote this as a child, as a little comic book for myself that I never shared with anybody but my family.
Okay. So this is a brand new story. No built-in audience whatsoever that we can definitely market to. Okay, that's
going
to be
tough. No, but part of that $173 million is some pretty big and up-and-coming stars who have built-in followings.
All right, so we got some attachments. People have agreed to be on the film already. You've done some feelers out there.
Yeah, Bruce Willis is a popular television personality who's starting to work his way into film, and he's in. We've got people from different countries, famous British stand-up comic, and then we've got Gary Oldman, who was just in
The Professional.
Yeah,
he's good.
The Professional was my movie.
Okay.
So, you know.
Oh, that was a nice, serious movie.
Right.
Okay, so now we're talking about a nice, serious sci-fi film, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, this is going to be straight, you know, we're talking Star Wars-esque, like, you know, like serious note? Or
Star Trek. No, there's plenty of comedy, but plenty of different characters. You know, you think of the Star Wars bar scene.
Okay.
Okay, well, so this is kind of like Star Trek meets Planet of the Apes meets Spaceballs.
I love it.
All right.
I love that.
That sounds interesting.
Yes. Yes, I love the movies, how you did that. That's great. Okay, it makes it paints a perfect picture for me. Okay, you said Star Trek Planet of the Apes meets Spaceballs.
Spaceballs, because there's so much comedy built in, especially if these actors pull it off the way I think they will.
Okay, and then we got Hudson Hawk himself, Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
John McClane
from Die Hard. He's a face. And then who's the girl?
Mila Jovovich.
She will be
really big in the future, trust me.
But there's a bit of an age gap here. Is that going to be a little bit odd? I mean,
it's a little weird. They're 21 years apart. And some of this stuff may come off a little, you know, there's like an unwanted kiss and things that a little hard these days, but we're going to try and make it work.
You can't find someone a little bit closer in age. Okay.
So you were throwing a little bit of Star Wars out there in comparison. Do you think this will be somebody that can rival Star Wars? Do you think this could become a franchise?
Ooh, yeah.
I think that, you know, we've got better effects technology now, and that $173 million, I think that for Star Wars to replicate itself today, it would cost more. You know, they used so many models and so much stop action animation that, you know, now we have better effects. Although we're going to use a mix of several types of effects. We hope they blend well.
All right.
Well, if I could ask, can you give us a brief summary of the plot of the film? Any?
Sure. There is a... There's a species. There are two species that we know of. One is extremely evil, or it's just an evil force that comes to Earth every 300 years. And then there's a protective species of kind creatures that protects us. So they created a mechanism for our protection. And it exists of some ornate items, and in combination with almost a messianic figure. And the movie starts pre-World War II. The protectors come down and say, we know what's about to happen on this planet. We are not leaving these ornate items here. We are taking them to protect you from yourselves. We'll be back in 300 years when you need them. So it starts a little Raiders of the Lost Ark-ish.
All right.
Pre-World War II, which cool. is kind of like how when that was set, or that was around there. And then it rejoins literally in the 23rd century, I believe.
You know, I'll just stop you right there. My nephew, Luke Perry, he's off of 90210. He's looking for something to do. I think that'd be a good little spot for him, you know, a little cameo.
We can throw him in that... We could throw him in that little beginning thing,
yeah.
and then he won't hit us too badly.
No, he shouldn't. So he's just looking for a gig, you know, get him back out there. Hopefully it'll restart
his career.
I'll
make him like a journalist or something following an archaeologist.
I like
priest.
It. Yeah, right. That works. Checks my box. Yeah. So
that'll bring in a young demo.
I like it. I like where you're at. You're checking a lot of boxes for me. So then the story continues, and
you know, things go. They come back, but evil gets here first. Ooh. Things go awry, and then there's a third party, a big greedy corporate guy who's trying to get a hold of these.
You got a name for that guy?
Jean Baptiste. I don't know. You name him.
Something with
Zorg.
Zorg.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Sounds alien almost. Is he an alien?
Our mock-ups with the makeup and the wigs and things make him practically look alien, yes.
Perfect.
But he's a humanoid and from the South. He's a third party who injects himself trying to get these ornate items as well. We never really make it clear if he even knows what they do. He just knows that they're valuable.
Perfect.
And
these elements.
These
we can spoil things. We're heavy spoilers.
They're ornate items that represent elements.
Elements. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm thinking.
And the messianic character is actually the fifth element, which is what I want to call this.
Okay. This is some deep stuff, but seems like it's going to be wrapped up in a nice digestible package, which. I mean, what else could you want in a film these days?
It's not going to be boring.
That's good. You got action. You got some action in there. We got to talk about Bruce Willis.
We've got tons of action. We've got tons of we've got music. We've got every type of character you can imagine.
Cool.
We've got some really forward-thinking costumes.
All right. Oh, costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you put this together, huh? You've been working on this since you were a little one.
Yeah. I can show you the little comics. It's amazing. Hand-drawn when
Perfect.
I was 6 years old.
Wow. So I'm good. I can't wait to get started.
All right, this sounds like a fun, interesting project. We'll see how it turns out.
So it's greenlit.
I think I'm ready to. Yeah, how much do you think you need to start off? Like a couple bucks?
Of the $173 million, a lot of it's the special effects later. So yeah, give me 50 to get started.
50? Yep. All right. My people talk to your people. If you need more people, I'll have my people get you some people.
Okay.
So we're looking like this is a go.
Good.
All right.
Are we back to present day?
End scene, yes.
End scene.
You're going to regret that go.
For real?
Yeah, it only did $60 million in the U.S.
Only?
Yeah.
Dude, when I saw it, it was packed theater.
It did $260 worldwide.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Now, you remember the splits. So I've had movies in theaters.
Okay.
We end up about 30% of the money.
Oh.
Okay, so it did $260 worldwide. Only 60 of that was in the U.S. And it cost $100 million in 1997 or $93?
97.
Yeah, $100 million in 1997 dollars, which is $173 million now. So that 260 would probably be about 400. So yeah.
So you're saying it's not good?
I think it didn't break even.
Well, I'm looking at it right here. The budget was $90 million. The box office was $263 million.
Worldwide.
Yeah. So on a worldwide, it did get its money back.
How?
Do they factor in like a VHS and all that?
Back I don't those know. Numbers?
260 times 0.3.
260 times, well, doesn't a, but.
That's 86.
86.
It lost $4 million bucks based on your numbers. You only get 30% of the box office.
Well, I'm just counting this because for it to be considered a success, it needs to double its budget, right?
No, almost triple.
Almost triple.
Mm-hmm. Listen to the man who's been there, Raj.
Okay, all right. I got you.
Believe me, I get these reports. I see the splits. If it were on iTunes, they would keep 70% of their money.
Okay.
If we're on Amazon, they get 50% of their money. If we're on Vimeo, they get 90% of their money. But when it goes to theaters, they get 30 to 35% of their money, unless you are Marvel, who makes the theaters give them 80%.
Oh,
says you're lucky
know.
To make your little 20% and sell a lot of popcorn.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
These are good things. Yeah, thanks for all this insight.
Yeah,
we're getting schooled.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
So you were going to regret that green light, and this thing is kind of a piece of crap.
The whole thing?
No, there's great parts of it that are so memorable and good, and they tried so hard. But here's the problem. As an American, when there's a foreign director, it just becomes a foreign movie. This thing has... This thing has Hong Kong effects, they call it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it has, I just rewatched it. Did you rewatch it?
Yeah, I watched it last night. Yeah.
Did you notice all the actors going dap 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 dap, all the stammering and all the stuff that kids do in plays?
Okay.
That just doesn't play in the United States. Maybe it works in France. It's like, almost like they're all Jerry Lewis.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Okay. Whether they're stammering and going and over, they're over mugging in every situation.
Chris Tucker a little bit.
Chris Tucker quite a bit. Even the priest when he's captured in the bed.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah, I saw the eyes. Yes. I noticed a lot of eye acting.
Yes.
A lot of
mugging.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Well, it's what they did before they had sound.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they mugged in silent movies because you had, and then they would write a caption like he was shocked.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, when that elevator thing comes down the bridge and Mila's like, you know, like sits and her eyes get all big. Like
that's a very European thing.
I was noticing all the eye acting. Yeah,
very European.
Interesting. I never thought there was a term for that. Oh, that's good stuff. Wow.
So here's what happened when I watched it.
So we've moved into our initial thoughts. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah. So I watch it, you know, whatever. In 1997, I was 22.
Okay.
So I go to the theater, and it's a little bit, it starts off in the Middle East. And it's this kind of Raiders of the Lost Ark type thing, which people were starting to do.
Sure.
Mummy was on the way and some other stuff like that. I don't know about the timing, but like it was a thing. Raiders of the Lost Ark came out when I was in middle school, but it was like a thing now that everybody knew you could make those adventures, you know, Romancing the Stone.
Oh, I remember Romancing the Stone.
That was a copy, you know, of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm-hmm. So you could, and then Canon Films had some real crappy
Canon
versions.
Films. We watched that.
So it was like kind of a well done. I recognized the actors. It was like, oh, this isn't too bad. And all of a sudden it cuts to, you know, New York City, 23 something.
Yeah.
Okay. Bruce Willis wakes up. He looks like he's hungover. He's wearing a dirty T-shirt. He didn't shave. He's got a headache.
Right.
And
a lot of setup.
Die Hard.
A lot of setup in that apartment, by the way. There's so much things that are set up that are going to be come into play later.
Yeah, a lot of pre-exposition, right? Like he's about to lose his license, in debt.
The match.
The guy who owns
the match was huge.
Looking for love, things
looking
like
for
that.
Love. I know, like, the ex-wife and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so here's what I loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to make way too much out of this, but this is what I loved. So he goes and gets in his cab, and it is a beat up, dirty, nasty piece of garbage. And I'm thinking, this is the first time something in the future hasn't been a perfect, shiny, bright thing. this is what it would really look like. I mean, it's
our future. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that, yeah, if you look at anything else that's futuristic, everything's just perfect.
Right.
There's not, if you watch Minority Report, there's not a smudge on the glass.
Or Demolition Man.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
I mean, you'll see wastelands.
Yeah.
You'll see, nuclear remains of bombed out cities, and you'll see apocalyptic scenes. But when you look at the technology and spaceships, and there was never anything, on the Enterprise, there weren't parts of the control panels that were worn out because you were using that section too much. You know, everything was perfect.
Right.
This thing was just, you could tell it was about to fall out of the sky. It was just a piece of crap.
Right.
And they kept saying they needed to bring it in for service, you know?
A little Millennium Falcon-esque, yeah.
Yeah. So, but that wasn't that dirty, if I remember.
Yeah. No, but it was, they would always call it a piece of junk.
But
that's Star Wars, but that's not our reality, right?
Right.
But yeah, like, in terms of like things like, sci-fi stuff I like it when I look, when you look, when, sorry, when you can look at a future, and it looks like it's believable and you can imagine if this stuff were to happen, humanity could evolve that way. I even just like the small little details where it's like Mila Jovovich or Lilu, as their character is called, when she escapes and she's walking around and she's crawling through vents and things and she's crawling on the side of the buildings and she's dirty. It's like that's a detail that I don't think a lot of films notice. It's like characters are going to get dirty at their doing all this climbing.
Oh, going through vents and all that. Yeah,
it was like I appreciate the attention to detail and that this film has.
Right, but it seemed like it wasn't still consistent, her dirtiness. It seemed like every time she was back on the scene on the shot, she was like extra specially dirty. Like she got dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. Like just by from cut to cut, it was kind of interesting. So
yeah. So now, do you ever read continuity mistakes?
Yeah. I mean,
there are some where she's dirty, and then the next scene, her hands are clean, and then she's dirty again.
Yeah.
See, I read a few of those. People caught that. I didn't watch it enough times to start catching that stuff.
People are dialed in nowadays. Like it's interesting how people watch movies now.
My first job was at Fairview Theater. I was an usher, and I used to sit and watch movies 500 times.
Oh wow!
And I watched.
It's like
48 hours. What was Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy?
48 hours.
48 hours.
And then another 48 hours. Yeah, there's two.
So Nick Nolte had this beat up old Cadillac or something.
Yeah.
And it gets blown up in a scene. And then they did some B-roll of just showing the busy streets and it's coming down the hill. And I caught it when I was an usher. I was like, whoa, did the editor screw up there, you know?
That's awesome. There's a new sheriff in town.
Yeah.
I love that.
Another little detail I like was the cigarettes in this movie.
I know. They're backwards.
They were backwards. Yeah. I was like, he's lighting his filter.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, you want to quit. For people who want to quit, we're going to give you really long butts of cigarettes with just a little bit. To smoke.
Yeah, they didn't nail the vaping, did they?
No, they almost they were close.
I like the idea they had. It's just absolutely. Like, you want to quit? We'll just give you a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So, Raj, what are your initial thoughts and your nostalgia of this film? Like, when did you first watch it?
I can't tell you if I've watched it all the way through up until this viewing. Okay. I've watched it with family over time. You know, I'll come in and I'll see it's playing and I'll watch it. It's not my favorite sci-fi movie in the world, but there was always these bits and pieces that I'd watch with my dad. My dad would laugh, and I would kind of enjoy it as well. As I was going through it, there was just things I really appreciate. I actually really liked Gary Oldman in the film.
Yeah.
But Chris Tucker, I think, might be going a little too overboard. But there's one scene where I really did kind of like Chris Tucker. It's when he's describing the aliens to the military and he's giving like a very bad description. And the one guy just goes, Mangalores or whatever.
He figures it out.
Yeah. It's just like based
did
on a
Chris
very...
Tucker do Friday at this point or is that after? I don't know.
I think he had
done Friday.
I think so.
Chris Tucker. I remember him from like doing the movies with, I think he did one with Charlie Sheen.
He did Jackie Chan.
He did Rush Hour.
Rush Hour, right. But before, I think he did one with Charlie Sheen, and I'm like...
He's faded out a bit.
Yeah, but he was kind of like a it person at that time.
Didn't he return for like Silver Linings Playbook or something?
For real?
Well, he's on TV shows. I saw him. On, he's on.
This was his heyday, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, this is when he was peaking, and right. and you know he does an awful lot of squeaking.
Oh yeah.
Oh, boy.
You know, it's a little tough to watch.
No one, but I will say this: no one could have played this role.
I can't believe this role like ever existed.
Yeah,
because I mean, he's just so unique, like, oh, yeah. so over the top, and so.
Just the way he walks, the way he moves, it's
flowing.
It's not my it's not my favorite character ever, but it's almost mesmerizing just to like, he's almost like Jim Carrey in the way that he's like a live action cartoon.
For real, like there's something animated about him. Mm-hmm. So is that, did you have any more thoughts on that, on your initial thoughts or?
I enjoy it. It's not my favorite, but I don't hate my time watching the film.
I can't wait to tell you this part.
Okay.
So my initial thoughts, first off, my nostalgia with this film. It's very near and dear to my heart because before this film, I broke up with the love of my life, right? From like my girlfriend, my first girlfriend. And she was my everything. She was my world. And like we broke up. And this was the first movie I saw without her. And with like on a date, and then there's this like love story with like Bruce Willis and Mila Jovovich.
How old were you at the time?
I don't know, maybe 18.
Oh, was your date six?
Six?
What do you mean? I wanted to see if there was a parallel.
No, okay. No, there was just something about the thing, like about the love story, and he was looking for perfection, and like he was looking for the perfect girl, and I'm like, I thought I lost the perfect girl for me because she was in music, and I was into music, and she was my perfect girl, I'm like, you know, but so I lost her, but then this movie comes out, and then like it's about a guy trying to find a girl, and like I was like totally, you know what I mean, I was like sucked into the love story, it just got me, I just got it, and I was like totally into the movie, and I don't know, it's kind of, you know, it takes me back. So every time I watch it, it takes me back to that time in my life.
You wanted the guy to end up with a girl?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I was rooting for him the whole way, and I believed it all, and I believed that he loved her at the end, and I don't know, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm a big softy like that, so I was like, I loved it. I love this film. I still love this film. I love the diva scene, the opera scene. I love the opera music. I love the Chris Tucker running around like crazy. The action at the end. You know, I love Zorg's motivation for helping out the evil guy. Like, to cause... he wants to kind of like put people to work by just... setting fire to everything and just destroying everything to kind of like rebuild it. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like, I don't know, putting people to work in a way. So, you know, helping the economy by like...
It's a metaphor for a defense contractor.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So I kind of put it into context of you know, like if there's woods and they're really packed together and then like a lightning strikes and it burns like a whole bunch of the woods and it starts a forest fire.
Yeah.
Well, what happens, you know, you'll get a little bit of life that'll start and it'll regrow everything. So sometimes when things get too packed in, a fire might not be a bad thing.
I think he was pretty nefarious, but
Okay.
I would like to mention, I think my favorite scene of the film.
Uh-huh.
And that is the scene when the godlike aliens are coming, the Monshallans or whatever their name were, or however you're going to pronounce their name.
Yeah.
It's like, we're coming to bring the fifth element and everything. And, you know, it's like they've been built up as this, like, this ancient force that's here to protect humanity, and then they get blown up.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that crazy?
And Ian Holm is just like, 300 years.
And he just sits back and he's like, oh, what are we going to do now? There's a ray of hope.
His line is, all is lost.
All is lost.
Yeah. And then you just sit back, but one cell. That's all they need?
Yeah.
It's like one cell to
That's one of the plot problems.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha, gotcha. And then...
They're able to cure death.
Right.
They can cure death.
So... I loved all the action. I loved the ending. I felt like I was on a roller coaster when I was done emotionally with the love thing and then with the action. I just like it wouldn't stop. It was like, you know, in your face, the part in the opera house, all of that under the table, the explosions, the guns.
One critic said
the costumes.
One critic said they did not waste one second nor 1 square inch of screen.
Okay. It was visually
interesting. Everything was just like fun to look at.
Yes. Just guns, everything.
Just the like scenes where he's driving around, like or the first scene when Bruce Willis is driving out of his garage. I'm like, that looks really good.
I know. It was all great. I was like, colors, everything popped. I mean, it was like, was this, and this was made in 97. I can't believe it when I was watching it last night. I was like, wow. Like, okay, cool. So, yeah, we're going to move into our interpretation of the film, our meaning, what we think. Sean, what do you think that they were trying to say with this? I mean, we've probably touched on a few things, but.
I don't know if he had an overarching theme other than, you know, a very common theme of, you know, man is inherently bad. You know, mankind, you know, that's a biblical theme.
Okay.
Men are fallen.
Yeah, men are flawed.
And man meaning humans.
Sure.
And the protective aliens and the messianic figure could be likened to Christian God and Jesus, I think, in a certain way, or could be sublimated into other belief systems here on Earth, too. And evil is evil. That also can be sublimated into many belief systems. And good will always prevail is a pretty common theme in every movie. But
you want to feel good at the end of a film. And
I love that. Let me tell you something. I love that this wasn't only one man can save us. This was the man, Lilu, the priest.
Yeah, is a know, team.
The aliens, like a lot of people had to work together.
Ruby
to save
Raj,
the world.
Yeah, a radio host.
Yeah,
he had to figure one out, right?
Yeah,
an element.
He was there to go like, I don't know what to do.
Still, it was.
And he goes,
and he gets it.
Well it wasn't Ruby Raj. It was the priest.
Was it the younger one or the older one?
Yeah, it was the younger priest. He was like, we're doomed.
Oh, that was who it was?
Yeah, it was Ruby Rudd has nothing to do there.
He's just in the corner screaming and squeaking
Corbin,
some
Corbin,
more.
Corbin, my man. I love it. It was fun. It was fun. It's okay to have fun.
His performance was very polarizing, I found.
Sure, okay.
I found.
He was
for your generation.
I'll tell you what, he was very brave. I don't know how everybody feels about this stuff, but like that was way ahead of its time as far as like gender neutrality.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
He was almost wearing women's clothing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's very feminine.
He argued quite a bit about that.
He fought for that?
Yeah. He fought against it.
Oh, against it?
Yeah.
Oh.
He said, I don't want my family to see me wearing this thing. And I was reading up on it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Chris Tucker.
Ruby even refers to himself as Miss. Or something?
Yeah, but I think he made them add the scene of him pleasing a woman.
With the woman that
I think he made them add that scene just to make my family feel better.
Yeah, because that doesn't work. That scene just seems odd.
Oh, yeah.
That it's in there.
Well, it doesn't fit with his personality. He seemed like he wanted to be the object of attention, affection.
And
like it didn't seem like he would have been.
Right.
In that role. But Luc Besson, the director, who I pretended I was when I did the pitch.
I caught that.
He felt very strongly about that. Well, it was one of the first films where I've ever seen anything like that other than, you know, watching MASH or something.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Good point. Yeah. What was his name?
Klinger.
Klinger, yeah, from Toledo.
Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah, get the hot dogs.
Yeah, everybody told him, hey, just dress like a woman, they'll let you go home.
Oh, that's right, and he was just trying to get home.
Trying to get a Section 8 or whatever they call it.
What was that place called? Tony Paco's. You were right there, Tony Paco's?
No.
No, that's right on the border before. It's right at the bridge in Toledo.
Oh, okay.
Right to the bridge, yeah. It's just hot dogs. Oh, okay. We always talk about Tony Paco's. But awesome.
So that was kind of ahead of its time. I'm not saying that's a great thing. I'm just saying it was ahead of its time. Probably some other things that were ahead of their time. But some stuff is dated. Not that much of it's dated. The diva's dancing is extremely dated. It's something you would see in a bad aerobics video.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, that part was kind of cool. That flapping of the arms.
Yeah, I mean, the way she was singing, I thought was amazing.
Oh yeah, singing was amazing, but her just kind of doing that, it just looked.
Sounded auto-tuned to me, but I don't know if they had auto-tune back then.
I don't think so.
Singing sounded good to me, but I agree with you. The dancing just looked like
Looked like someone who couldn't dance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who was like on stilts. I'm fairly certain she was on stilts.
Yeah, but there was some prosthetic that made her 7 feet tall, sure.
And
Roger, do you got any interpretations?
I don't know if I have any... I think if I had any, it might fall more so to what Sean was saying.
Okay.
I just kind of, this movie is kind of, does feel a little all over the place, things like that, you know, maybe corporate greed or something, or, with like Zorg's character or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, this one, it's, love conquers all kind of thing. Yeah, I think I might just be a little short this time around.
All right. I think what I get out of it, I think there's some talk about overpopulation. We live above in the clouds because the lower level is already like over polluted. Mm-hmm. Well, remember, he talks about the fog. Okay, go ahead.
The president mentioned 300 billion citizens.
Wow, that's like a lot of people on Earth.
Yeah. Right now it's like seven.
Yeah, seven.
So 300 billion.
Right.
You know, that's
we got to feed them. We got to feed everybody. We've got to clothe everybody. We've got to, they go to the bathroom a lot.
We need trucks full of McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly. We need to, we need to find stuff. And it's going to cause a lot of problems, like a lot of garbage. Mm. Like, that's kind of weird that they had like made a point of having the garbage where they where their spaceport was.
Mm-hmm.
like sorry about the garbage, like what, like I don't understand, but makes sense, like a lot of people, a lot of garbage,
and no place to put the garbage, really.
No, I guess they don't burn it, which is fine. It's probably a better thing for them. But overpopulation was probably something you were talking about. I also caught that, Sean, about the man and the wife saving the world, the team saving the world, the teamwork. I think it's some wholesome, like, morals and stuff, family values and stuff there. I was thinking, like, maybe this is the origin story of the moon. You know, like, could be. This is how we got the moon in its spot. Maybe that was one of the previous attempts of these aliens. And, you know, Lulu helped before, because at the end you see two moons. And then they always bring up this idea of perfection.
Oh yeah.
And this is what I think we're talking about is I was always taught that there was only one perfect being, and I was God or Jesus in my upbringing. So I think that was kind of something that they were talking to or speaking to. Perfect is like every third word in this film, and I think they're just trying to like say stuff about, you know, their specific entity or whatnot that we should believe in and have faith in, and at the end of the day they'll save the day.
I was hoping when I saw that, as I was watching this movie, I noticed the use of the word perfect, and I was hoping that someone made a compilation of all the times it was said in the film. It's not, doesn't exist yet, I guess. No one's taking note.
Yeah, it's like the Big Lebowski, where you can find that dude man compilation on YouTube. Yeah, they should do one for perfect.
Perfect.
It's every third word. All right. And then, so that brings us to how can we make, as filmmakers, we're looking at this critically now. I know if we might be jumping around on your paper list. But how can we make it better? What do you think? What are your cringe moments? How would you fix them, Sean?
I'm all for product placement. I think it needs to be a little more subtle.
Okay.
McDonald's clearly wrote a check toward production.
Oh God, yeah.
And they appeared in two or three scenes and had some billboards to boot, and tons of Big Mac.
Right.
Boxes fell on them at one point, and
reminds me of the Total Recall scene.
Yeah, it was like Yeah, it was almost like the Skittles thing or the Reese's Pieces thing in E.T. You know, it was like, oh, pretty heavy-handed.
Right.
I'm all for and but where are they at when we make movies?
Why
can't we put a bottle of Pepsi in front of an interviewee and get $50,000 toward our production costs?
No, you got to blur it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or else they're going to sue you, right?
Yeah. But the product placement, there was some horrible, horrible acting. Rest his soul, but Tommy Lister, who played the president, he was wooden, completely wooden.
Dude, can I speak real quick about that?
Yeah.
I saw him, I was like, Zeus from that.
Friday.
He was in Friday, sure. Mm-hmm. But he was also a WWF wrestler, mm-hmm. and he was in the movie with Hulk Hogan where he's Rip 'em Rip. What's that movie called? The Hulk Hogan movie. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the guy from that movie. It was cool to see him as the president. I thought it was kind of like a bold choice.
Well, it was. It was again ahead of its time.
We had, yeah.
You know, but he his dialogue was really bad. He didn't pull it off very well. Again, I know he passed away. Rest in heaven.
I did not know that.
No holds barred.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If I may speak to him, I recognized him as the underappreciated MVP of The Dark Knight. That one guy who tossed the detonator in The Dark Knight out of the ship.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but he should have worked on that a little more. Mm. There were a lot of plot flaws. There were some implausible things in the plot.
Sure. With all of them.
But my big thing is Gary Oldman.
Okay.
I can't stand when British actors do Southern accents, Southern American accents, because it's always an amalgam of like six of them.
Oh, okay.
You know, mm-hmm. And he's such a great actor.
He's excellent, yeah.
And he was angry. He was angry with the hairpiece. He was angry with the costumes.
Mm. Oh.
He fought back, and they made. So I researched that. They made him do it. This Luc Besson did not budge.
Okay.
On anything when these guys push back. So, as a
director, like, do you want to maintain your vision, or do you want to help? Do you want the actors to dictate?
I will let the actors have some say, so they own it a little bit. But okay. This guy felt strongly. He was sticking to what this child's mind, what he wrote as a little child.
Okay.
So he's like, hey, we're not putting our adult stuff into this. This is just let's see if my childhood thing works, but. I just couldn't stand that character. It didn't make any sense. It wasn't that funny to me.
Okay.
What he did, it was very, I don't know. It was like.
What about when like he goes, we need to fire 500,000, and he's like, fire a million. What did it make you like feel for him?
I thought it was just a cheap throwaway line.
You thought it was a cheap one?
Well, I just thought some writer just okay. They wrote a few keystrokes and they made him look like a really bad guy.
Did you know what?
But it's lazy.
Do you thought that's okay? Yeah. I don't like this guy.
Did you know?
Supposed to. They did everything. It's totally contrived. That you hate the guy, but I mean, everything about him was hateable.
Did you guys know what kind of employees he fired?
The taxi drivers.
Yeah. It was just something.
Yeah,
they
tied it together a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that the Chris Tucker thing, all he did was squeak. I mean, they should have just written him some better lines and made him more funny. Some of a lot of critics say there were scenes stapled in that didn't seem to fit.
Staples?
Yeah, so stapled in.
Yeah.
Like, and him having his private liaison with the stewardess before they took off.
Okay.
That seemed awfully stapled in.
Okay.
And it makes sense that that was to appease him for wearing the woman's clothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I also think, I think the way that the warlike soldier for hire creatures were depicted was had some racial, the European racism undertones.
Oh.
Especially when they'd fake themselves as humans, they would be black men.
Ah.
So I thought there were racial undertones of you dumb whatever. You know, dumb apes. That's just what it seemed like to me. And Europeans are way behind on racism. They still do terrible gestures at soccer games, you know.
Oh, so, I got you. Yep.
You know, it just seemed like this guy was really racially insensitive. Yeah, it struck me.
So that would, yeah, would definitely be updated if they do
that wouldn't fly today. Bruce Willis kissing a sleeping girl who did not give her consent.
Right.
And getting her in the end.
Well,
that
she does,
wouldn't fly today.
She has the gun.
Well, I mean, she empowered herself and put a gun to his head, but, you know, that wouldn't fly today.
Okay.
That's
good insight.
Yeah, I give it like a... So it was the first movie I mentioned because I just thought it was so cool that everything looked aged and beat up. But I'd probably give it a C plus or a B minus overall.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks. Yeah. We haven't really done letter grades or anything, but no, okay. That ties up your thoughts pretty nicely, actually.
But I just had so much to say about it. And the weird thing with me is the more I love something, the more I pick out its flaws. I love The Wire, but certain things just drove me nuts about that series, you know?
Okay.
And I'd get on message boards and talk about it, and they're like, why are you even here if you're doing all this complaining? It's like, because I
love it. Yeah.
They've almost got it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It could be so much better if they just didn't
have this fake whatever.
They tweak it here and there, and it's like a perfect thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
I love Star Wars, but I haven't really cared for the Book of Boba Fett. I want it to be better. I want it to be better, and I just feel like it's at a meh kind of point. But
all right, Raj, how would you make this film better?
There are certain things I noticed. The moment where she jumps off the building and into the car, it's like she's able to survive that. Part of me feels like bullets shouldn't be able to harm her all that much. It just feels like, I don't know. If you're able to survive face first into that, if it makes me fake, she's probably got some like tough skin or something.
The DNA is explained that she's got like 200 something, strands of DNA. So I mean,
I think what Roger's saying is, why was she dying in that vent at the end?
When she got drained.
Yeah.
I think she was just like drained at that point. That's the way I always pictured it, because she's out there fighting those guys and she's taking a lot. And then I don't know. I think that's a great point. I never really like figured out why she was getting drained, but there's got to be some kind of tie in to, is everything worth saving? And she's kind of losing her.
Oh yeah.
By the way, if we have that machine, shouldn't people who got smoked in this thing appear later?
Yeah.
Because someone put them back in that machine.
Sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know why they were in the machine at the end at all. Like, why were they in the machine?
Just to strengthen them a little, but it was just, that was dumb.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
That was weird.
They should have been in separate containers. You probably don't want to put two people in the same container.
Yeah, that are supposedly in
love. Oh, I'm going to tell you something else that was wrong. That it was totally unnecessary. It was Bruce Willis's mother calling and complaining.
You didn't like
and
it?
And it sounded like she was reading off of a piece of paper.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was really wooden also.
There's also a little thing that gets to me. When they're fueling up the ship as it's about to leave and, go to the other planet with the crews.
Okay.
I was thinking...
Flossin?
Yeah. But they're putting that in that radioactive waste container into the ship. And I go, like, I don't know if it's safe to have radioactive containers just be, like, behind glass. I feel like that's...
And maybe the guys doing it shouldn't have been smoking weed.
Yeah.
There were Jamaicans with blunts.
You know,
they're passing the blunt around.
And the guys were all like, oh, he's all smoked out and everything. And they're just like doing their job. And those little critters that they
That was kind of kind of a cool element.
Oh, yeah.
Rats on a cruise ship.
Right. That was kind of cool.
There's a phone booth explosion.
Yeah.
If you look closely, the guy who's on the phone, his body is still there. It's still like standing up. And I'm going like, shouldn't his body be like...
Well, it's a dummy, I think, at some point.
But yeah. I feel like normally your body should be, like, flown away, but he's just, like, standing up. And I go, like,
they probably, did too good of a job putting him on that thing.
I would throw in...
The dummy.
I would throw in maybe a couple more action scenes, because...
More?
I don't know. Maybe just one or two.
You know what's funny? That this is the first time I mentioned or I thought about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it took an hour to get to him getting the mission. Mm-hmm. Like, I stopped it. I'm like, I thought that happened a lot earlier in the movie, but like, wow, it took like a whole hour for him to like get the notice that he's going on the mission. Bruce Willis' character, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, and to me... watching it like before, I'm like, I thought that happened in like the first 20 minutes.
By the way, ways to improve the film.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
His whole fighter pilot backstory was him just saying it.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he have woken up from a firefight nightmare?
Or maybe.
You didn't want to spend the money on that, but wouldn't you want to see what an expert he was behind that?
Show, not tell, I think is what you're talking about. And that kind of
comes into play at the end where it's like, okay, we're taking control of the space.
You might want to hold on to something.
Yeah, yeah.
The first time you watched it, did you think he was some sort of like special agent guy or anything?
Not till he said, this isn't a fighter jet anymore or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What about like when he got mugged and he handled that guy pretty well? Did you think like, oh, like these guys got some skills?
And they showed a rack of weapons that he confiscated.
Yeah, the rack of weapons. Yeah,
I didn't understand why they humorized the mugging.
The mugging.
Yeah, it's almost like a European guy mocking America. Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Well, he seemed a little bit Latin, the guy. So I don't know.
I saw him as like East Asian.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I thought I saw him. Yeah, more like a Southern American type. South American guy. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Why didn't the bomb detector and the crews detect the bomb sooner?
I would have messed up the plot.
And then what about the
left.
The bomb that they brought on board that blew up?
Why did that bomb need to have a timer that says 5 seconds?
Why did it turn his timer back on?
No, that new bomb has a timer for 5 seconds.
I think that was a joke.
Yeah.
That, like, in an attempt at a joke. Because, mm-hmm. like, he stopped it at 5 seconds, and then this bomb pops up, and it's 5 seconds.
Did you notice that the bombs looked steampunk?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
I think, like, kind of brass and, had steam this kind of, like, steampunk look.
That wasn't around back then, I don't think. Steampunk and stuff. I don't remember seeing
Not
stuff
really,
like that.
But, well, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, it kind of was. Just certain ornamental.
Raiders.
Yeah, okay. I think there were steampunk elements.
Okay.
I think my two big changes, though. The first one is, I think I would have preferred it to be more like an adventure to go collect all the stones. Maybe like there's one stone over on this planet, or there's one stone over in this city or something.
Yeah, but then I get repetitive.
Well, it was lazy writing to just have Gary Oldman keep opening empty boxes.
Oh, that's true. I noticed that
too. It's lazy.
Oh, is it?
I think it would be like, okay, let's go explore these different environments. Let's see how humanity has expanded over. Maybe it's on a planet, or maybe it's...
See four different... Well, yeah. Lucas would have done that.
Okay.
Yeah. He would have taken you to four different worlds.
Yeah, yeah.
In like 10 seconds.
Interesting environments, things like that. Maybe maybe it could even just be, you know, the last ones in the body or something. It's like, maybe it's the symbol of water or something.
Speaking of that, how did those stones get in her body? Like, did they sew her in?
That was just so...
I don't know.
That was just so weird.
How did that happen?
How do you even live...
I don't know, with something in there like that.
Not even just you.
Yes, but I think the other problem I would like to fix is the war thing where Lilu kind of like questions it a little bit. I feel like
if she's the all being, wouldn't she already kind of know about that?
Yeah, and I feel like it's there to kind of make it go. I feel like it's kind of thrown in almost at the last minute to make her go, is it really worth saving humanity?
Okay. Yeah.
That was a big thing in the 90s, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, the Vietnam stuff all just came out.
I would have thrown this kind of stuff in earlier in the film. Like, mm-hmm. maybe she would notice war and see how it's changed or something earlier in the film. And, you know, maybe she's like, I'm still with it. It's just
that actually is the thing that exhausted her even more before he told her he loved her. Mm-hmm. Was her looking at that war footage.
Okay.
I also think that was lazy, her mm-hmm. looking at
the
flashes
internet?
Photos and thinking as if it informed her.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Was like, the internet around back then to like kind of like...
I don't know. That looked... That was a pretty... good prediction of what a browser would be.
Right, like what was around back
97?
Then?
97, yes, yeah, AOL was around.
AOL and Prodigy and stuff like that, I think were around.
It was around.
There's this gag in a show called Smiling Friends where these guys are trying to make people upset, and it's like, here, look upon the atrocities of humanity, and it's they're showing glimpses of like war and stuff. It's exactly like The Fifth Element. It's like one of the hopeful people is going like, don't look, Charlie, and Charlie's looking at it, and it's like,
is this really supposed to be? I mean, I've seen way worse stuff than this on the internet.
This doesn't get a reaction out of me.
Okay, so you pretty much all set there, Raj, for your cringe moments and fixing it all?
Or? I think that's what I would like to try and change.
I have this really okay. So when I watch it, the way like there's this spot where they're playing with the gun, and they're shooting each other, fake shooting each other. The monsters, what are those guys called with the ears and the guy that's
Mangalores.
The Mangalores are playing with Zorg's gun. And they're playing with all the different things. Mm-hmm. And they're like, and then Zorg was like, you know what? I like a killer, a cold blooded killer. First thing they would have thought of is, what's the red button do, right? And then someone, and then one of the, they cut back to the guy and he presses the red button. But he was in the tunnel.
He blew up Zorg's place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he blows it up. But then all of a sudden, they were in the tunnel. And then all of a sudden, they're outside. And it's like, it doesn't. Continuity just doesn't. It's a very short tunnel. Yeah, like they're outside and he's standing and he's looking straight. Like they weren't walking. He's just standing straight and then it blows up behind him. I just have a problem with that cut. That cut just doesn't. Just takes me out of the film every single time.
They wouldn't go back and do the pickup to connect those.
Exactly. I needed a pickup. Like I mm-hmm. needed them still in the tunnel, maybe blowing up that room that they were in, not him outside. It bothers me. The little elephant. That pops up, the little pink elephant thing that pops up. I don't understand.
That scene was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's like, why would he let him walk out of there? Well, let's have him choke.
Yeah, that's my next thing is like the whole cherry swallowing thing, I don't get.
Why?
I don't
get it. Stapled in.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Like it makes him look weaker too, like that he like, because you saved my life, you can go free. It's like, what? Like,
it may not work all that well, but I want to throw a positive in. The creature effects in this movie are great. Like the Mangalores when they're talking.
That's great.
Uh-huh. The little elephant looking thing. While it doesn't look 100% natural, I still go like, man, that still looks. I still kind of believe it though.
Just right. So you know, Luke Besson now says he cannot watch this movie.
Why not?
Because of the special effects.
Really?
George Lucas style.
He said, if we would have made this 10 years later, boy, would it look great. He said, we used, and they like when she falls out toward mm-hmm. the cab, when they uh-huh. show it frame by frame, it's awful.
For real?
Yeah, I just watched the video and they analyzed it. Yeah, oh, kind of no. worked in real time.
Yeah.
And there are
that's
a few
like an
others,
iconic scene.
But they say they're like three different styles all mixed together.
Oh.
Animatronics and stop motion and like and the CGI and he's just bummed when he looks at it because he feels like they didn't give him enough money for effects or that the technology wasn't there.
Wow.
So they gave him a lot of money though.
He doesn't like watching this.
Let's hope he doesn't make a remake. Because
they were talking about one.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Like re-upping all the graphic or remastering
they were
or
naming
redoing
it
this
after
one?
The Dark Planet.
Okay.
That was the name of the sequel. I forgot the name of that Dark Planet, the one they supposedly killed at the end, but probably didn't in the sequel.
Okay.
And he would not do it.
That's
he
one
said,
thing.
No, I never dreamt of that as a child.
That's one thing I love about The Fifth Element, that they didn't make a sequel. Like, this is mm-hmm. it. Like, this. Mm-hmm. I love how they didn't try to capitalize on anything, or obviously they didn't make their money, so they didn't move forward, but.
These are his childhood dreams.
I love.
And he was not going to contrive it.
I love stuff like that, like this, like the Monster Squad, they never made a part two, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. like Goonies, they didn't make a part two. Like, I love not franchising something.
Just a one and done, and those
yeah,
are refreshing.
One and done. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that, yeah.
Yeah, Hollywood.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
Hollywood
doesn't
wants to. Yeah, when they want to.
Well,
yeah,
they just need the sure thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure thing. Yeah, good point. So, go ahead, Raj.
I do have one more thing I'd like to try and fix.
Sure.
Chris Tucker doesn't need to be in it as much. Like,
oh, okay.
You could probably cut out him at the end, and it doesn't change anything.
Right.
But if he were to just leave with other people as the ship blows up, I think I wouldn't complain all that much.
French loved Jerry Lewis, that he was doing Jerry Lewis.
And I also heard he was like doing almost an impression of Prince and Michael Jackson as
I can see Prince. I love that. And Michael Jackson, sure.
Like all those things. He also kind of, for some reason, he kind of reminded me of Logan and Jake Paul, just for some, just getting in people's faces or things like that and just like doing all this weird stuff.
Okay.
I mean,
those are guys of today, right?
Yeah, those are guys today.
I don't know those guys.
I mean, he's not making.
They're from Westlake.
He's not making fun of suicide.
The guy who boxes now, yeah, they're from Westlake, the social media guys.
Yeah,
for real.
My father was a realtor here.
So, huge followings, things like that.
They've done great.
Yeah, they're doing things.
I can't sit through it. My son used to watch those videos. It's like, Jesus this is there, seriously that you this, you know
this is it.
There,
this is
look, something? He drove a car into a pool.
Oh, is it like a
Jackass?
Like a Jackass?
At the
thing?
Beginning, it was.
Oh,
but then there were some problems. Logan Paul went to the Japanese suicide forest and he recorded a dead person hanging, and he was like,
"What?
Yeah, it was. He didn't quite know how to react, and it was
what?
Yeah, it.
Oh boy,
that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah,
no, it didn't sound fun, and he had to go on a whole like reevaluation of his life thing.
Well, that kind of takes segues us into like stories behind a story. Mm-hmm. How, you know, do you guys have any like behind the scenes type stuff, Sean?
I think I already dumped it on you when I said that the director can't watch it and he's very unhappy with the special effects, and that Gary Oldman was very and Chris Tucker, they were both very upset with their wardrobe.
If I could add on to a little bit of the Gary Oldman stuff, I was watching an interview and he's talking about Gary Oldman is talking about, you know, his career and his most memorable roles, and someone brought up The Fifth Element, and he was like, "Yeah, I did, before The Fifth Element, Luc Besson had helped me produce a film that I was directing, and so I didn't read the script for The Fifth Element. I basically did it as a favor." And he was like going. The interviewer was saying, "Oh yeah, it was. He had a good time or everything." And it was like, "Well, it was a bizarre time." So, doesn't seem like he has much love for The Fifth Element.
Well, I don't know how he can in retrospect. Milo Jovovich says it's the best movie she's ever made.
Oh yeah,
I have to agree. Yeah. What was she in Dazed and Confused? That's the first time we saw her, and like, she did Resident Evil, like. She said
this was her favorite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is one of my favorites. This one in Resident Evil, for sure.
She was the focal point, obviously.
Mm. Oh, right. Yeah. She was definitely the male demographic was like, yep, check that box. But Raj, you got any other stories?
There was you said that it wasn't based off of anything, but there were some inspirations from like, I don't know, French comic books or something. Yeah, he saw like specific images, and there was like a image of a taxi, and I guess Luc Besson got those guys to help like visualize the world a bit, help him make his vision more so a reality or something.
No, I did see that that was a French theme, airborne taxis, but I didn't, you know, the interview I read, he said that that these were his childhood dreams, possibly informed by those comic books.
Yeah.
Flying cars too, like we haven't gotten flying cars, we're 2022. And like, where's our flying cars?
It's going to happen.
They're
VTOL. There's a ton of companies making them.
Flying cars?
Yeah, they're in development, right? Boeing and Airbus included.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's coming.
They're drones.
Oh, yeah, drones. Sure, sure. The only thing I found interesting was that the director and Mila Jovovich hooked up at while they made this film. And then the director, divorced his wife, which was the person playing the diva. So,
really?
Yeah, that's what it said on Wikipedia. So, he was married to the person playing the diva, like obviously hooked up with Mila, and they got married for a little while, but then they got a divorce eventually.
Yeah, it was like lasted two years.
Yeah, so I guess the grass wasn't greener on the other side.
And I remember one more thing. Apparently,
well, he's been me too now.
Oh.
I didn't want to bring it up.
But, oh, boy.
He's been me too.
Yeah, it kind of comes across in this film, the way everyone kind of lusts after Lilu, and I'm like, a little creepy.
Definitely Bruce Willis is like smitten immediately.
Mm-hmm. He's been me too, but he is not, no one has successfully prosecuted him.
Okay.
So these are allegations. Mm-hmm. And he may be completely innocent.
I mean,
so you just
reputation.
Do your own research.
Yeah,
we can't say for sure.
These are allegations.
There was one more thing I wanted to mention. Apparently, Besson actually created Lilu's language.
Yeah,
with her.
Yeah, with her, and it
That's
was
cool.
like
cool. I always liked the language.
400 words or something. They created 400 words, and I noticed that
they did their research. I mean, all the costumes and the language. Mm-hmm. They did a lot of prep work.
And as I was listening to her talk to in her language, I was like, she kind of sounds Russian or German or something. And so I looked it up, and apparently Jovovich was born in the Ukraine during the Soviet era, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. That's why it's she has that kind of accent.
Gotcha. And then, all right. Anybody got any last thoughts before we get into recommendations? Sean, anything we've missed or anything that you you think we need to touch on? No? Raj?
I think I've said all I need to say.
All right. So, like, let's answer the questions. Would this get made today?
Nope.
No?
Not get made today. They wouldn't take the... Even if the script were good and the cast were better, and the misogynistic elements were taken out of it, Hollywood wouldn't take the gamble.
Wow. I know, because, I mean, like, with no prior, like...
No track record. Yeah, they wouldn't even remake this.
For real?
Not based on the performance.
It's not a cult classic in any way, you don't think?
I think it's kind of a classic, but I don't know if, you know, now with how shaky theatrical is.
Right.
You know?
Not even, like, somebody takes it, like, Amazon's pretty pretty brave.
The only good thing is that you could probably make this for a lot less money now. Including Bruce Willis.
Dude, just get Bruce Willis back on. He'll probably he probably needs some cash.
No, who's the new Bruce Willis? The younger version of Bruce Willis now?
Vin Diesel.
Gordon, oh boy, I don't know about that.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No.
What?
Looper.
You're joking.
Looper. He was the younger version of.
That's not bad. That kind of works. But I was thinking, Driver. Who's the guy that did Driver?
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. What about him? You think he's kind of like. Because a Bruce Willis-y type of guy. I don't know.
Probably a little better actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I just like, you know, like Blade Runner, I thought he did good. So, I don't know. We'll talk about that in the future one day. I don't know. But, all right. And then, so remake? No remake either?
No.
I think you mentioned that? No? Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. So, what movies, when you watch this, we should watch? If we like The Fifth Element, what do you recommend, Sean?
Oh boy, I wasn't ready for that one.
I know.
Come back to me in a minute.
No problem.
Raj? For some reason, I kind of thought of the Carl Urban movie, Dredd.
Judge Dredd, right.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Good one.
I was thinking about it. It's like everything looks dirty in the future and everything.
I am the law.
Right. Yeah, I am the law. I guess.
I love that film.
I guess also based on the works of, you know, the people involved. I guess the Resident Evil movies.
Yes.
And I guess I still have to see Leon the Professional because I've heard people recommend that. And
absolutely.
I have to see that one.
Okay.
It's almost hard to think of other films that feel like this.
Okay.
But you know, like I guess you could also throw Indiana Jones out there, adventure movies, things like that. But yeah, this movie does kind of feel almost like one of a kind in just almost everything. And it's an experience I'd say is worth checking out.
Excellent. The movies I bring up first, I mean, because we got an asteroid coming at us. Mm-hmm. That's not, you know, let's call it an asteroid. I'm thinking Bruce Willis, Asteroid, Armageddon. Mm-hmm. You got to have Armageddon in there, right? And you, one thing I do like about The Fifth Element, they don't use nukes to save the day. They use love. You know, I love that. Anyways, I want to see Lucy. I haven't seen it, but I want to see, which I think is one of his later, the next films, the director, what's his name?
Luc Besson,
sorry. And then when I see him take that taxi out, Bruce Willis, Corbin, take the taxi out and been going through film school, I see Metropolis. The Fritz Lang, you know, 1921 silent film. I just think that's what everyone kind of like whenever they want to do some sort of like science fiction type city of tomorrow. They always, it's almost the same shot, the tall buildings and traffic is, you know, just always all over the place. So that's what I see. I see Metropolis. And then The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, just because it's almost the same style of like comedy and, you know, comedy sci-fi type of thing, Spaceballs. So we're going to finish up with what are you watching today that you recommend people out there kind of check out, Sean? Or I'm sorry, we didn't get your recommendation.
I'll tell you what I watched recently. I enjoyed. Some people hate it. Some people love it. Uh-huh. And it does send this up and this whole genre up a little bit. But it's a political, mm-hmm. a political movie. Is Netflix's Don't Look Up.
Oh yes,
I think that does send this up because there's kind of a Bruce Willis-y type character.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Good pick. Yes.
So I liked Don't Look Up. Some people hate it.
I liked it. I did not love it. I have problems with it, but mm-hmm. I don't know. We can probably do an episode on that soon.
I think it'll disappear quickly from probably. The ether.
Okay,
it's kind of like Bird Box. It's really hot. They just disappear when they're
and then the Bird Box challenge. Oh my god!
Maybe I'll check it out one day. But I saw some like clips of the editing in the movie, and it's just like during certain points, it will just like freeze frame for no reason, and I'm like, what's up with that? And but I don't know. I have no real any feelings toward the film, so mm-hmm. I don't have any hate or excitement to watch it.
Did you have a recommendation, Sean, for like if you like The Fifth Element? Did you have any other films that you should check out?
No, you don't want to know what came to mind? Tim Allen pretending to be Captain Kirk. That's what came to mind to me.
But Galaxy Quest?
That's like my favorite movie.
Are you talking Galaxy Quest?
Yes. Yes. It's like one of my favorite movies.
I love that.
But it has nothing to do with The Fifth Element. But it's a total rip on Star Trek. Clearly, but I love that film. And again,
yes.
Again, the
I love that
would
film.
Someone really know how to pull that thing out of the hangar? Or would they just scratch by one side pulling out?
I have to see Galaxy Quest. That's on my list.
No, that's not on our list. You know what?
Oh,
when it's time for me to do my next movie,
so good.
We're going to do Galaxy Quest.
Okay.
And it's my movie coming up in a few weeks. Galaxy Quest.
There's a huge, huge list of movies that I want to see, but I just don't have the time or I guess.
Galaxy Quest and watch the Black Mirror episode about Star Trek.
Oh, yes. Oh my God!
This guy is
sci-fi. I know of that.
Yes,
I kind of know the basic plot, but I need to watch it.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Watch that. That guy is the best Kirk I've ever seen.
Listen to the law.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, no, for real, he knows what he's talking about. Sean's, you're on the money, man.
Yeah.
And then what are you watching other than Don't Look Up? Is there anything else that you're watching?
I am binging Black Mirror.
Catching
up on it. Yeah, I'm really late to the game, and it's just a.
Did you see the White Christmas episode, or is it a Christmas episode with Michael Hamm? Is that how you say?
John Hamm.
John Hamm. Sorry,
I did not.
Okay.
I watched San Jacinto, which is kind of. I don't even want to spoil it with what it's about, because you don't know for quite a while. They really hold off on the.
Black Mirror is amazing.
On the bomb. Black Mirror is British Twilight Zone. Everything is cinematic. Mm. They must cost $10 million an episode to make.
Wow.
The money that goes, as a director, producer, I watch and I'm like, oh my gosh, costumes, the technology.
Right.
But there's another episode of Black Mirror called Nosedive.
Okay.
That might be my favorite episode. It's about social media.
Okay.
And approval.
I think I know what you're talking about. Is that the one with
Bryce Dallas Howard?
Redhead?
I don't know. Or,
okay. Okay. That's fine. San Junipero. Have you seen San Junipero yet?
That's the one.
I'm sorry.
That's the other one.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes.
Those are the last three I watched.
Yes.
The Star Trek one.
Yes, yes.
Nosedive and San Junipero.
Yes, John Junipero. Oh, my God. Wow.
The only episode of Black Mirror I've ever seen in full was the first ever episode. And boy,
the
is
robots
it.
The robots coming out of the boxes.
No, the one with the pig.
Oh, yeah. Okay, say no more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the pig.
And I was like, okay, I know what the show is about. And so every other episode I've watched, I've kind of learned through information based off of, like, the internet.
Okay.
And here's a total wormhole. I watched the movie Pig with Nicolas Cage.
Oh,
I've never seen that.
It is fantastic.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm a big Nick Cage fan. Big one. Sorry.
Nick Cage and Bruce Willis, you know, I know as a producer that they'll go out and they will spend 48 hours in your town making a movie with you for $1 million, you know, that's already pre-sold to the Chinese, and they do it all year and they make their living that way.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So they're in a lot of crap. But I love that Bruce Willis and Nicolas Cage, when they want to, can turn on their chops. It was a minimalist acting job. It was unpredictable, and it was emotional, And I was blown away by Pig. And I hope he wins some awards.
Oh. Is this new movie? I don't remember.
Oh, this year, yeah. It's nominated for...
Well, it came out last year.
Oh, yeah, but it's 21. Yeah.
Oh, I got to check that out.
Oh, yeah, Pig.
Pig.
Pig is so good. He's really good in it. I remember I saw it. Yeah, I remember I went and watched it, and I told my dad... You know, it's like, Nick Cage is so good. And I said something along the lines of, he's such a good actor. And my dad was like, he always acts the same in every single movie. And I was like,
not this one.
I don't know if I'd say that.
Nick Cage, what, 8mm?
I was just like.
Well, one of my favorites, as I'm saying.
I think he was like saying, Nick Cage is a bad actor. And, you know, he used examples like Ghost Rider or things like that. And
Ghost Rider.
I don't know if that's fair. But
he was cool in Next, when you're talking about superhero films. Mm-hmm. But, you can't bring up Nick Cage in front of my wife. She's not like a film buff like me, but like she hates Nick Cage. And I'm like, I love Nick Cage.
I'm so looking for.
I just love that he was addicted to Rolls Royces.
And comic books for me. Yeah. Like he buys old comic books.
But he was addicted to Rolls Royces and had like 50.
Oh, jeez. What can you do with all that money?
It's like the guitarist from Pink Floyd has an airplane collection.
Oh, my God. Like,
that's when you know your Dark Side of the Moon was on the charts for 40 years. That's how you know what kind of money you have.
What else are you going to do?
The charts for
you can 40 buy
years.
A moon.
I am collect so airplanes.
Yeah.
I am so looking forward to his upcoming film. The Unbearable Weight of Incredible Talent.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's going to be like channeling all of his performances.
I put that.
That's crazy.
I put that trailer on my Facebook and Twitter. I can't wait to see that too because he's sending himself up. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the swear words kind of like little TV show that he did about the swear words? That was funny. It made me laugh.
The history of swear words or something.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's just a quick little half hour thing on each swear word. It's kind of fun. What else are you watching, Raj? Are you reading anything, Sean? Like reading any books or anything?
Yeah, you know what? I'm reading a book on the history of fair use law.
It's all, okay.
It's for filmmakers.
That's important.
That's what I'm reading right now.
Yeah.
If I can do a plug,
Sure,
we only
absolutely.
Have 2 months left. If anybody listens to this before mid-March 2022, please watch White Boy on Netflix. It was last year it hit number 4 in the world, and that's something that we made here at Transition. We have a film called A Murder in the Park that you can see on IFC streaming network, and you can also rent it on iTunes if you'd like. And then we've got some stuff coming up, so stay tuned and check out our releases on transitionstudios.com. And this fall, Thanksgiving 2022, check out Watch True Blue, TRUBLU.com. It's a new streaming network. Try it for free for a few days and see if you like it.
Right. Is it okay? And I can edit this out. If anybody wants to contact you with any questions or anything, or, you know, is it okay to put like your transition email on?
Yeah, it's public.
On the description?
Sean, at transitionstudios.com. That's fine.
Okay, excellent.
And some people are going to call me and write me and tell me I'm an idiot for things I said, but that's, I'm very used to that.
No. I mean, I just, you know, just if anyone, you know, wants to, and we have an email too, so they can just contact us. But
okay.
I just want to put it out there, and if you don't, it's all good.
No, that's fine.
Are you good, Raj?
As for things that I've been watching, I started watching the latest season of Ozark, and I've been enjoying it. I went on a binge of a bunch of movies. I watched basically all the Mission Impossible movies while not really paying attention to 2 because it's bad. I saw the Raid movies, and I saw Christopher Nolan's The Prestige.
Oh, very good one.
Yeah,
awesome movie.
Just in case anyone has not heard of The Raid, really, really, really good martial arts films. Okay. It's like if you're in the mood to watch some like really well choreographed action, check those ones out. They're great. And the Mission Impossible movies are you're there to watch Tom Cruise do all these weird stunts.
Okay.
All these. Oh my God, he's hanging out the side of the Burj Khalifa. Why are you doing this?
Okay. All right. So in preparation of Ryan's film, I've been watching Cheer. Just to kind of get an idea of what he's got going on. Ryan Kelly, he was on the show a couple weeks ago. And his, you know, unsanctioned, I can mention that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's in the works. Yeah.
Okay. And then And then I finished listening to Mel Brooks' All About Me. So I'm all done with that book. And, you know, like learning about Mel Brooks's history through his filmmaking career, which was amazing. You know, he brought up Spaceballs and producers. And so I've been watching kind of like all his films, you know,
Blazing Saddles.
History of the World Part. Yeah, History of the World Part. Yeah.
I was in the theater when I was an usher.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, that's, well, Mel Brooks is one of my major influences. And then, so I'm listening to a book right now about conquistadors, because like I just like don't know too much about Spain and their history and how they conquered like half the world, and half the world speaks Spanish, and I just like, it just kind of like just hit me like, how come, you know, I know all this stuff about Rome and Britain and England, but like half the side of the world speaks Spanish. Like, well, how did that happen? You know? So I'm kind of like deep diving into Spain's history, and kind of our kind of family comes from that part of the world, which is Corsica, which is French, but like, you know, we're Spanish speaking. So, you know, like what, you know, just kind of learning
about. It was a Spanish expedition that stumbled upon this native land.
Exactly. Right? Like, I mean, I just think there's so much to learn. And also, like, how did they, like, stay neutral through World War II? Like, how come they didn't get wrapped up? I mean, they had that Civil War. Anyways, I'm just, like, really interested in Spain for some reason right now, and I just want to learn more. And that's about it for me. Like, I've been, you know, that's what I've been doing. So, Raj, what do we got coming up next week?
For next week, the hint is the movie we're going to be watching is the greatest Lovecraftian movie not based off anything written by H.P. Lovecraft.
Okay. Sounds all right. So when we can figure it out, you know, email us and let us know. But I want to take the time to thank Sean Reck.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hopefully, great to have you. Hopefully, you know, you had a good time, and hopefully, you can do this again in the future, sometime in the way future. But whenever you want, we're here. And
well, if you get 7 downloads, you'll know not to invite me back.
It's not about that. It's about, hey, man, you know, let's just have some fun together. And we do a lot of cool stuff here. And I just want to say thank you, and you know, hope you come back.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Cool.
See you, everyone.
All right. We'll see you later.
Have a good night, everybody.
And we're out.
Lilu Dallas Multipass.
Yeah. Multipass. Lila, Multipass. She knows it's Multipass. Lilu Dallas, my wife. We're newlyweds.
Keep up the good work. This shift is concluded.